Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Let's start off this week by announcing a few upcoming events. On April 24th and 25th, Robert Bowles will host the ISA International Martial Arts Seminar in Fort Wayne, Indiana. To find out more, visit www.shuri-ru.com. From June 11th to 15th, Neil Stoltzmark will hold the 14th Annual Warrior Gashku Seminar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This year's guest of honor is Minoru Nakazato, 10th Dan and head of Shorinru Shorinkan. Find out more at www.AuthenticAncientArts.com. From June 26th to 28th, Philip Keppel will host the 31st USKK International Karate Kobudo Championships Seminar and Tournament in Peoria, Illinois. To find out more, go to www.uskk.org. From October 2nd to 4th, also in Peoria, Illinois, Joseph Walker will host the Kagami Bikari Gashku. Go to AOK Karate on Facebook for further details. And finally, the weekend of November 6th, 7th, and 8th in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Kosho School of Karate will host Jodo and Iaido expert and the 2014 Japanese National Bato Do Champion, Sensei Chusho Fukuhara, along with Shuriken expert Ikenaga Sensei and top student of Goju Ryu's Yoshio Kuba, Miwa Kanazawa, along with several other members of the Meisui Kan Dojo in Naha, Okinawa. To find out more, email koshoschoolofkarate@gmail.com or call 513-510-3844. If you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, please let us know, and we'd be happy to announce them on the show. Okay, so, all right, everybody, welcome back. I'm here with my good friend Ezra Scott from Nashville, Tennessee. And where do we leave off, Ezra? We're talking about self-defense and kicking?
Yeah, talking about self-defense and kicking. I was actually going to ask you kind of what had you seen as far as that in Okinawa? Because that's really something that I know you've previously expressed some sort of reservations about you just sort of talking a whole lot on here that you feel like maybe people don't want to hear that. But
nobody gives a shit about what I have to say. That's why I have guests on here, because if there's one thing I've learned in my years in the martial arts is nobody cares what I think. That's it.
I was just going to say, I do.
Okay.
Well, I think that that's a really, you know, I don't know very many martial artists. I know a number of people who have been over there. I don't know very many people who have actually spent a lot of time over there. So, you know, I know most of the people that you meet that have trained in Okinawa have gone for a week or something. And
which is great.
You have the experience of having gone over there for extended stays. And so I wondered about that, particularly about Shinazato, because he's such clearly able to strike out of nowhere with his hands, you know, able to like strike without you seeing any sort of, you know, movement beforehand and use a lot of power.
He's really,
what did he do as far as kicking?
Well, Shinzato's probably, I'm not going to say probably, he's the fastest person I've ever seen. And, I was working out with him when he was 70. So he may have been faster, you know, 10 years before that. You know, the interesting thing, I'm going to circle back around to Shinzato, but the interesting thing, the big difference is in the kata, that the kicks that are in the kata. So, for example, You and I are both Shuriru guys, and we run Arcadas, long stances, big movements, big, long, strong kicks, head high for the side kicks. Yes. Maybe if we get low, we're going to kick the guy in the stomach or the chest. I would say mostly Shotokan guys are probably pretty similar to us in that way. But in in Okinawa, with the Shorinru, the Goju, Weishiru guys, the katas, most of the kicks are going to be low. So where we might normally do a side kick to the chest in the same kata, like in Basai Dai, for example, that same movement in their kata would could be a stomp to the knee. And that's the way that they run it.
Okay.
You know, so I've you know, I've always kind of wondered why that was, and you know, maybe you have some opinions too. But my, my thinking was, you know, first off, the guys that popularized the katas that we're doing, the Shuriru katas, were all big, strong, young guys, and so they had no trouble doing a sidekick to somebody's head because they practiced doing it a thousand times. And they were all big on the tournament circuit. And so if somebody's kicking to the head versus somebody kicking to the knee and the guy who's kicking to the head gets a couple points more, you know, all of a sudden those kicks start sneaking up too.
Yeah, they started doing that crap.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Right. But you're right.
So I think that's that that's part of it. And you know, but a lot of the kicks that, that they did in the katas there were lower and to the knee. I didn't see much that was above the belt or stomach in the katas. You know, and the one of the other differences is it was the front kick that that you and I use is generally going to be we're hitting the guy with the ball of the foot. So you bring your knee up high, you push it out, you hit that guy with the ball of the foot. Or maybe if you're doing a, like a rising front kick, you're going to point the knee at the groin. The knee hinges up, kicks the guy in the groin, and comes back down. The the kick that most of the Okinawans were using came out a lot different. The knee would still come up high, but they would go out heel first. The heel would contact the guy's belly, and then the rest of the foot would roll in, ending with the toes. So it kind of flicked out there. It was really difficult for me to switch and kick that way, and then it was also really difficult for me to switch back.
So the initial... I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I know we've got a little delay here. I apologize to the viewers. We're getting this figured out. And that we can't both talk at the same time.
We both want to.
But that's really different. Now,
yes.
You know, I've definitely heard people say that. And Mr. Silver was saying that in the Japanese karate teachers that he's trained with, they would call like a front kick and a side kick. Like a lot of times, we refer to a side kick. Meaning that you're using like the blade edge of your foot or your heel. So even if the person is right in front of you and you raise the knee up and you come out and you do what I would call a side kick where you like stomp into the guy's stomach with your blade or edge of your foot or your heel.
Right. And you turn
call
the
that
hips
a front
in.
Kick because of the directionality. And they would call a side kick, you know, say if you were a guy was right next to you. 90 degrees to you, you know, like his body was facing your side, and you reached up and did a front kick to his groin, they would call that a side kick because you're going to the side. But that's Japanese karate, which is, you know, as we all know, that's going to be a whole other thing.
Right.
Wildly different from what the Okinawans are doing. And so you're saying that they're actually, they were using the heel and then bending the foot forward and like finishing it, like kind of like shove the guy away with the ball of the foot?
Right. So even when you hit with the heel, it wasn't a lot of impact. It was sort of lightly making contact, and then it was the action of the foot rolling in and ending with the toes. That's when the force was delivered. And, you know, so, and they did that to the front
that's
and to the side. It's different. They did it to the front and to the side that way. So, in for example, they run the pinion. You know what? Here's a better example that, so you and I can talk about the same thing. In Kankusho or Kusanku, you know, same kata, different name depending on what style you're in. So there's a big movement for in Shuriru Ezra where you turn to the side, you do this great big side kick, you step in, you elbow the guy, you stand up, you do the side kick to the opposite direction, the side kick you're talking about with the edge of the heel and high, like we were talking about earlier, step in.
Well, to the ribs.
Right. Well, the Shorinru guys in Okinawa would do that same front kick that I was just talking about, except they do it out to the side. So the hips wouldn't turn over. You just instead of doing the raise, heel in, toe flick to the front, you did it to the side. And so they use that quite a bit in the kata. Now, in the self-defense, or when the guys were working out on their own, you started seeing a lot more. So there's all kinds of different kicks guys like to do. Itakazu, who was at Miyahira's dojo, one of the instructors there, he's a big, strong guy. He's a big guy for anywhere, but especially for the Japanese, especially for the Okinawans, who are usually smaller than the Japanese. He was great with his roundhouse kicks. He really liked the dropping roundhouse kick, where you kind of come up, raise that knee up to the side, and then you come down at the angle. So instead of rising horizontal, that's more typical. There was another guy there who specialized in a roundhouse toe kick, where he used his big toe like a hammer into a guy's femur. He demonstrated it. Now, kicking with someone with your toe doesn't sound like a great idea, but if you've been practicing it for 40 years and you've been kicking some kind of tire makiwara, all of a sudden you can do it. And I felt him, he did it on me lightly because I wanted to see what it was like, of course. And I have no doubt if he hit somebody with that, he would break the femur because it was just like a hammer hitting it. And some of the other training things.
That's incredible.
it was a hell of a kick. And some of the other training things that they have over there, I saw tire makiwaras where guys would mount half a tire to a board and then they'd practice kicking that, usually with their toe, until, you wear a hole in the tire, then you flip it over or turn it.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
Okay, I have a theory to address something All right. you were saying there as far as the tournament situation versus maybe like older ways of practicing karate and how that's influenced it.
Okay.
So, it's safe to say that, and this is something I've thought about recently a lot, having to do with injuries. How many people I know that just get hurt all the time doing martial arts because we spar so hard, and that goes for, karate, jiu-jitsu, judo, any kind of martial arts where there's a lot of sparring. Nowadays, just we're such better athletes than people were even 30 or 40 years ago. Just your average guy who does something like this has so much more access to their kind of athletic potential because, we understand more about like running, posture, strength training, all these things. We're just so much more of specimens than people were,
Well, are we or are we all getting fat and lazy because,
Oh, no, I'm talking about I'm talking about martial arts.
Oh, okay. Not your average guy.
I'm talking about, no, I'm not talking about your average person.
Of course we're in great shape people. And good looking, yeah.
Yeah, and athletes, you know, I mean, just, okay. You know, like, jiu-jitsu people, like, the way that these guys look now, if you go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, compared to the way that, like, the Gracies looked when the UFC started, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, these guys are, like, they know a lot more about, like, diet, strength training, agility training, just people just know more about the athletic part of it.
Okay, so compared to, like, Mark McGuire, who was on a regular training regimen with all the supplements he can handle, and Babe Ruth was training on a constant diet of hot dogs and whores.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the thing is, though, is with that, then also, you know, medicine has advanced, so something like somebody tearing their ACL, mm-hmm. it's now something that you just sort of take for granted in high school football. Kids tear their ACLs all the time. Oh yeah, kid, we'll take you to get your ACL repaired, and you'll be back. You know, you'll be able to play your senior year. You're a sophomore now.
Yeah.
You'll be able to play your senior year after you rehab next year. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in Okinawa in the 1800s, that was a time just like it was in the United States, where if you got hurt really, really bad like that, you weren't going to be doing anything.
Yeah.
Anymore. ACL tear it wouldn't be the end of your life. I mean, you'd figure out, you know, how to get around and what you could do and couldn't do.
But if your job was
ACL, but
if your job was pulling the
kind of karate.
Yeah, and if your job was you know, running the rickshaw from Tamari up to Shuri, you were out of a job and you did have to figure out something else to do.
You were done. So that's something that's really different now as far as like we're a lot more interested in kind of competing martial artists against martial artists mm-hmm. probably than people were back then because the stakes were a lot higher, you know, I mean, for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. you know, as far as like your actual physical structure, like we're talking about, but also stuff like, you know, you didn't want to go around just like punching people in the face and breaking their teeth and cutting their hands. You could get blood infections.
Yeah.
And that's something Mr. Awad's talked to us about before, you know, what to do if you fight somebody and you get cut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, probably it's a pretty good idea to go immediately to the emergency room.
Well, you know, there's a story about that, too, with, Bob Bowles. I'm hoping to get him on the show in the near future. Mm-hmm. But there was a story about him. He kicked the guy in the mouth during a tournament and cut open his heel on the guy's tooth.
Mm-hmm.
The infection immediately got in there. The thing swelled up, and they were legitimately talking about having to amputate his foot.
Yeah.
So
that's serious kind of stuff. So I guess where I was headed with that, and it was a long way around the mountain, is the whole thing of sparring as we think about it today. You know, I mean, I think it's hard for a lot of times for people to understand how much the old karate techniques are really not for fighting trained opponents. And it's one of the things that a lot of times people think, and, you know, people also think, interestingly enough, after this, the sort of jiu-jitsu is, a fad now, people think the same thing about the way that, like, Hoist Gracie and those guys fought in the early UFCs. Now people think, that stuff's no good. That won't work against, you know, a guy. You know, if it doesn't work in the UFC, then it's not real or something. Where what they don't understand is those techniques, just like old karate techniques, were designed for self-defense. I mean, they're designed for street fighting. Generally, when you're going to street fight somebody, they do not know martial arts.
Right.
You know, the person you're going to fight on the street is going to come at you in a really different way. And some of the stuff that you use in ring fighting won't work.
Yeah.
You know, especially like Mr. Awad always says, if a lot of your ring fighting game is based on bouncing around,
mm-hmm.
your ring fighting stuff is not going to work very well for you in real life because
try doing a circle and jab technique on a guy who's trying to take a bunch of wild swings at you in a crowded bar. It's not going to work.
Yeah, you got to be able room, to stand your ground. So that was what I was going to say about the kicking is, those kicks, the kicks to the legs, right?
Right.
That stuff, particularly thrusting kicks. Now, they do allow that in the UFC, but, of course, that's a high-level athletic competition, not a kind of sparring that most people aren't able to engage in.
Right.
They
The average person is only in a cage fight maybe once or two, three times a week.
Most people are not going to do that sparring, are not going to be able to, you know, have good enough control to, like, do side kicks at the other guy's knee without hurting him, right?
No.
So when you get into having the competition and sparring be a big deal, which in karate would have first been Shotokan in Japan, right? I mean, that's when the first kind of like Ippon Kumite stuff got to be a big deal, is my understanding. University system.
That would make sense to me. You know, I'm actually not completely sure on the history of it, but you got a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-old guys who are trying to get into the Japanese military. I think there's going to try to be a little sparring. I know there was some in Okinawa before that. There's, you know, stories about guys wanting to do things like that.
I think it was a little different, though, wasn't it? I mean, it was kind of... I know I've heard stories about the Uichiru and Gojiru guys doing stuff that was sort of somewhat similar to Kyokushin sparring, where they would attack the body but not the head, but they would go full contact and do leg kicks and stuff like that. But I guess what I was going to say about Shotokan is it makes sense that they're going to start to bring these kicks up to the body,
right?
Just because it's just completely unsafe. If you got two young men going straight at each other full bore, even if you're controlling a sidekick to the knee, sooner or later people are going to start getting maimed.
Yeah.
I know Mr. McClain actually told me when I first started that he saw people get maimed at Mr. Trias' dojo.
Okay.
When he first started, because they would do some more sort of extreme versions of different kinds of sparring.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he kind of really thought it was too bad. He said he saw some people get hurt really bad getting kicked in the legs.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not sure when it happened, but I know at one of the trips over to Okinawa that Grandmaster Trias had organized, they started sparring a bunch of the Okinawans. And the Okinawans, at that time, the knee was a legal target. So these guys would hop in, kick the Americans guys in the knee and hop out and think they scored a point. Well, here, that's just low kicking.
Yeah.
So that surprised a lot of people, and I think they did work that out there in Phoenix for a while.
Mowari no hito ni sa wo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyou to shite imasen ka? Sports massage kenkou no specialist Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC ではお客様の体に合わせたマッサージを行います。また、ATAC の酸素室にもトライしてみてください。代謝向上、怪我の早期回復に効きます。柔軟性を高める、ストレッチングコースにもトライしてみてください。ATAC はプロチーム、琉球ゴールデンキングス、FC 琉球、そして琉球コラザンの選手も利用しています。ぜひ一度ご来店ください。オープン、月曜日から土曜日まで、沖縄県那覇市、おろく 1-28-30。電話番号 098-859-1890。ホームページもチェックしてみてください。www.sanso-atac.com。www.sanso-atac.com。英語、ポルトガル語、スペイン語、日本語が話せるスタッフがいます。
But, you know, they still are doing a lot of low kicks out there. Just going back to, Shinzato, who we got way up off the beaten track. Circled around there. You know, his kicks were really fast and snappy. Didn't do any thrust kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly anything he did was a thrust. But one of the really neat kicks, you know, I always get a kick out of it when you see something that you hadn't seen before and you didn't know that anybody could do that before.
And even as long as you've been in the martial arts, every once in a while, and they start getting fewer and farther between, but you see something, you're like, holy shit, I never... He had this kick.
Yeah, it's in the category of what you didn't know you didn't know.
Right.
You didn't know you didn't know it.
Well, I didn't know this. He had this kick, and it was a kick that would be to the guy's thigh. And this is how he did it.
Okay.
So if you're standing here, both your feet are pointing forward. You would do a front kick, like with your right leg, and you would go past the other guy's leg. You miss it by about 6 inches and go past. Now, as okay. your foot started to come back on that snap kick, like it normally would for a front kick, your base foot, your left foot, pivoted in, and you hooked that right kicking leg in and clipped his thigh with the inside of your shin bone. And that will put somebody on their ass. Because it's not like the thigh roundhouse kicks that the Muay Thai guys do, where you might see it coming, maybe you can flex, something like that. It's you're hitting it from behind and on the retraction. And, man, that hurts. It's hitting the leg from a different angle. I don't know whether it's doesn't, you know, there's not enough meat on that side of the leg to penetrate it or what it is. I can't explain it. But I sure as hell felt it, and it's a nice kick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, you would sort of, you know, expect there to be some cool, really creative stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff, too, is also one of those things where, you know, the effect that you're getting, like I know Mr. Silver was saying that with the way he would use, you know, these kicks, the way he was kicking sort of out of nowhere for self-defense is, not necessarily so much that you're going to completely incapacitate the guy, mm-hmm. but like the kick you're talking about that Shinzato did, or he was doing like a corkscrewing kick, like an outside corkscrewing kick with the ball of the foot to like the inside of your thigh up near mm-hmm. your groin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure those are definitely in Okinawan.
Oh yeah, sure.
Karate kata, because Master, that's another person that we should of course bring up with this. I don't know how many of the seminars you've been to, but over the years going to the Nationals, Master Keppel, Mr. McLean Sensei, he's a Master Mori Saito Shorinru guy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's a, you know, old as it gets, Okinawan kind of martial arts.
Right.
Those guys, when Mr. Duffy's come down and when I've been up there, they do snapping kicks like to the shin, to the knee, inside the calf, with the ball of the foot, you know, because like, especially if you had shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like what Mr. Silver was doing, too. And both Mr. Silver and Master Keppel, they had said, these are not necessarily things that are going to totally incapacitate the guy.
Right.
But it hurts bad enough, and they completely don't see it coming, that then it sets up your next technique. I think that's something that I'm kind of interested
okay.
in for myself that I'd like to play with is something that Mr. McLean always encouraged us to do with every technique, which is a motion study. Which is basically what, you know, Mr. Silver was doing with his kick, is you have to okay. sort of really, in order to be able to just move right from where you're at and do something without telegraphing,
mm-hmm.
you've got to slow the kick down in slow motion and study how your weight has to distribute in order to be able to, you know, bring that up and execute. And I think if you can do that, then you can start using your feet to set up your hands. Instead
right.
of just vice versa. You know,
right.
for me, I think I'd more use a hand technique to set up a foot technique.
Right.
Personally, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, so I'm interested in playing with it and seeing,
yeah.
you know, where it goes. I still think for self-defense, I'd like to keep my feet on the ground, for me. But
yeah.
maybe I'll change my mind. You know, who knows, maybe I'll, you know, develop my control, you know, balance enough
yeah.
from doing that I will think different.
You know, I definitely would too, especially with all the ice and snow that we've got on the ground this week.
Yeah, it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Standing on one foot might not be so good.
Maybe not.
Well,
I don't know.
Ice and snow, everybody's going to be wishing they'd gone to jiu-jitsu class too. If they get in a street fight,
that's
be
true.
Rolling around on the ground.
See, and that's not traditional karate because
you know,
there's no snow in Okinawa.
There's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, sure.
You know, there's a time and a place for everything. That's so. Now I've got a couple of Mr. McLean anecdotes.
All right, let's do it. Let's wrap up the show with those.
Okay, so the first one was, I've had a number of people, these weren't ones he told me about, but I've had a number of people that have known him claim to have seen him throw spin sidekicks out of nowhere in bars. You know, if a guy was acting like he was going to do something and getting kind of froggy, Mr. McClain just boom, spin around and hit him with a spin sidekick or spin back kick. Wow. And, you know, of course, those guys always wore, you know, cool, flashy boots and shoes and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
You can imagine about how good that is, you know, getting a Mr. McClain size 11 in your gut and solid plexus out of nowhere.
Yeah, alligator shoes.
So
oh,
I definitely,
man.
Yeah, definitely heard a couple of those. Hmm. Then I've got two other ones. The first one was one night when he was, and he told me this one, he was leaving the Prospector, which is the bar that he ran with Mr. Beach and somebody else
in
there
Peoria.
In Peoria. He had a bar called the Prospector. I don't know that he owned it or he was the manager. I'm not really, Mr. Hammond would probably know. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of a wild place, sort of a roadhouse kind of place. And he had these two guys that had been, you know, really kind of acting up, and he had asked him to leave, but he'd been, you know, pretty nice to him about it. You know, hey guys, you know, you just got to go. You're too drunk now, but come back tomorrow and I'll buy you a beer.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Which is usually a good bouncer tactic to get people to leave without too much hassle. But
yeah,
these
sure.
guys, they didn't really like it too much, and you know, anyways, they were got agreeable and they left. But as Mr. McClain had closed down the bar, he was leaving the bar with his girlfriend. And it was late, and the street was totally deserted. And as they're walking to his car, he sees these two guys come out from the alley and start coming towards him. So he
Ooh.
Knew, oh man, you know, here we go. They're gonna,
yeah,
they're gonna want to fight me. And they were two, you know, pretty good sized men. And so he just told his girlfriend, you know, just walk, just go back to the bar, you know, keep going, get away. And the one guy came at him and immediately, you know, swung on him with his right hand, and Mr. McClain did a cock block with his
okay.
right hand.
Hook block.
So he blocked the outside of the guy's arm, and he did a snap front kick to the guy's groin
Ooh.
With his right leg, spun the guy, jerked him, spun him around like a kind of like a one-handed arm drag,
mm-hmm.
and then did the same snap kick with the boot to the guy's groin from behind.
Oh.
So he actually kicked him in the groin twice. And he said he wouldn't have done it except for the guys were, you know, they were big. There was two of them and only one of him.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend was not really going to be able to get away.
Right.
And he felt concerned that, yeah. you know, she could be assaulted or something like that.
Right.
The guy ended up in the hospital for like 6 months.
Oh, shit.
He actually ruptured one of the guys, you know, the guy lost one of his balls. And
I'm shifting in my seat just to hearing about that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the guy came back one night to the bar, and he said, you know, I was going to kill you. When I got out of the bar, I was going to shoot you. I was pretty set on it for the first 3 or 4 months
wow.
that I was in the hospital, or however long. I may be exaggerating how long the guy was in the hospital, but
right.
for however long, the beginning when the guy was in the hospital, he was going to get out, he was going to shoot Mr. McClain. And Mr. McClain was like, well, what happened to that? You know, it's kind of like, you walking in here telling me you were going to shoot me, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
And the guy was like, well, you know, I changed my mind. You know, I shouldn't have done what I did. You were nice to us, and we, you know,
wow.
we, you know, came and tried to beat you up. So I figured I kind of had to come, and there was two of us and just one of you, and we were bigger than you. So, so that was one of them.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
The other another one. This one is via Tom Awad.
Okay.
This one is really great, and I think it's true.
it's true enough.
It's such a great story. Yeah. So Tom did. He said, he was like, "This is it. It really happened." He's like, "This is how it happened." You know.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. McClain was living in Chicago, and he was married. I'm not sure exactly when this was, but it was in the late 60s. It was not in the 70s yet. This was still suits and razor cuts.
Okay.
Time period of Mr. McClain. For those of you who are familiar with the different Mr. McClain hairstyle periods, pre-1970s disco Mr. McClain, this is still when Mr. McClain had the cool razor cut.
All the karate guys didn't have their perms yet, so this is not, that's 80s.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, this is pre that. So
okay.
Mr. McClain got an apartment in the south side of Chicago. Real rough neighborhood. And the south side of Chicago is primarily African-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. McClain had lots of African-American students. You know, he didn't have a problem with anybody or anything like that.
Right.
He wanted to live there in this neighborhood.
Right.
But it's a rough neighborhood, and certainly not everybody, but some of the guys had a problem with him being there because that was kind of, you know, it's their neighborhood, and here's this white guy in our neighborhood.
Right.
And Tom had gone to visit him, and he had kind of just moved in. And Tom was staying with him, and there's a group of guys that were hanging out on this one specific corner. And every time he would walk by, they'd give him a hard time, you know. And, you know, we're going to kill you and all this kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Frank told Tom, he said, "Well, Tom, we're going to have to go ahead and nip this in the bud because I can't keep, you know, letting them do this or they're going to, you know," it was getting more and more aggressive each time.
Right.
So he said, "Whatever I do, we're going to walk past them on their side of the street. Whatever I do, stay totally calm. Just keep walking." So Tom, okay, Mr. McClain, this is young Tom. You know,
and he's probably still a teenager at this point.
Yeah. He's not an old guy.
No.
And I mean, Mr. McClain was probably only, you know, 23 or 24 or something.
Right.
But he says, "Whatever I do, just, you know, act like nothing happened." So he says, they're walking by, and the one guy, the biggest guy, you know, comes at Mr. McClain kind of from his right-hand side and is starting to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Mr. McClain reached up, cocked his right leg up, and caught the guy flush in the jaw.
Oof.
With the tip of his wingtip dress shoe. And he said he hit him so hard that his face just immediately busted open, just like ruptured open, just from the impact of the hard toe of the shoe.
Right.
And the guy, just blood starts just pouring out of his face, and the guy's like down on the ground. And Tom's like looking at him. Mr. McClain's like, "Act like doesn't happen, you know." So, you know, and they keep walking. And they get to the street, to the corner, and the other guys are just trying to see figure out what the hell just happened to their friend here.
Because it happened out of sight. They didn't see it happen exactly. They were down the street.
Not exactly. They just knew. They saw this guy's foot flash up really, really fast, and then they just see their big friend that he's probably the toughest guy they know.
Right.
You know, on the ground, just blood pouring out of his face. So they get to the corner, and Mr. McClain says, "All right, turn the corner." So they go left, and he goes, "All right, now run!" And they just took off running as fast as they could.
Yeah, well, I think
those are a couple of good Mr. McClain kicking stories.
Yeah.
And I should say, as Mr. McClain's student and chief instructor, as I have thought more about this, you know, and I've been, you know, running the classes there for some time, so sometimes it gets a little confusing to me when I try to remember back, like, how exactly was Mr. McClain teaching it, or did he ever tell me what his frame of mind was about teaching specific things? But when I really think about it, his way of teaching kicking is, first, you are learning how to do the kick technically perfectly.
Okay.
Which involves a lot of bringing your knee, holding your knee up high, kicking, bringing it back, still holding the knee up high,
mm-hmm.
then putting it down, you know, which, and all that stuff is not really.
And slow motion working exactly. for form. We got into that in when Richard came up and worked out in Cincinnati. I think in his episode we talked about that. And in fact, we had a video of the of him doing the Gary Waza, which is Mr. McLean's kicking routine combination.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is, generally, it is Mr. McLean's style that until you have perfected what he considers to be the first step in the process,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to tell you a whole lot more about it.
Mm.
And because very few of us really achieved much level of mastery of that form,
right?
While he was out there a lot,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that we talked a whole lot about that, but I know that what he would say is, if you want to be able to kick without loading up, you got to do a motion study of the technique.
Okay.
And I know he used to tell us that one way to run the ippons is just from Higadashi stance, instead of blocking first, you just do the front kick.
Okay.
Because like the first five begin with a front kick. So, he's, you know, to make a more offensive, like a preemptive self-defense thing, which
right.
is most people who are really guys who have been in a lot of fist fights will tell you, preemption is probably one of the best self-defense street fighting techniques that there is.
Yeah, so when you know what's coming, hit that guy first.
Exactly, and most people really will, you know, that's one of those things that as far as legality, morality, you know, it's kind of iffy, and you're teaching a lot of people or young people, that's not really all that appropriate. But for survival, you know, if a person is learning how to survive, say, like in prison or something like that, that's really what they're going to want to do is start with the hands up in front of the body, talk Italian, and then just out of nowhere, flash, hit them with the right hand, kind of like the Mawashi punch out of the hunch.
Right.
I mean, that's probably one of the, if you didn't learn anything else, that would definitely save your life if
yeah.
that was all you learned in martial arts.
Yeah.
So I think I know that that's what Mr. McLean would say is,
all right.
if you want to be able to kick out of nowhere, you're going to have to motion study it. But if you can't really do the kicks right, you know, if you can't get your knee up, you know,
you're not flexible enough, if you don't know the technique, what's the point?
Yeah.
Mm.
And there's no point, so. Mm.
All right, very good.
I think that's what Mr. McLean would say. And we can ask Mr. Awad.
Yeah.
Too.
We'll have to get him in on this.
Thanks.
All right. All right, Ezra. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show now. I really appreciate you calling in and doing our first phoner.
Great. Thanks for having me as a guest. I hope if it doesn't work out, we'll have to redo it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll definitely do it again. All right, Ezra, I'm going to let you go, and thanks again.
Okay, thank you, Mr. England.
To learn more about Ezra Scott and McLean's Kosho School of Karate, you can visit www.koshokarate.wordpress.com. And to learn more about Ezra's jiu-jitsu teacher, Eric Silver, visit www.zanshindojonashville.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Nihe de biru, and the mataya. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.